If you're a tech startup founder and you've already raised at least $1 million, no doubt you've already had to go through some kind of a due diligence process, although it may be that it wasn't that thorough because you've got friends and family and friends, family, fools. Maybe you've got some sort of some angels, and they did a little bit of diligence, but didn't really, you know, want to invest the time or the money, frankly, to do a thorough due diligence. As you progress to the next stage and try and raise more capital, you will likely have to go through a much more thorough process of diligence. And that's what we're going to talk about in this part of the lesson. In this module, we're going to be looking at getting your house in order. What do I mean by that? Imagine you were inviting somebody to come and stay with you overnight, or actually, let's imagine you're trying to sell that person your house. Would you, when they walk in the door, have the kitchen clean? Any dirty dishes? You got dirty laundry laying around? The person's really interested in buying your house. They might be interested in knowing if you've got any skeletons in the closet, or maybe you've got ghosts in the attic, or God forbid you have any bodies buried in the backyard. Now, I'm serious, it's not a laughing matter. If somebody's serious about buying your house, they're gonna be looking for these sorts of things. And that's what having your house in order is really all about. It's reminds me of The Wizard of Oz, one of my favorite movies growing up. And you've got this great vision of Oz, you know, and people want to come and learn from the wizard. And the wizard makes a lot of noise, is a good pitch person. But when you really look behind the curtain, what's there? That's what it means to get your house in order. And so in this section, we're going to look at how you can be proactive about making sure that when somebody finally does come, hopefully, to look behind your curtain, they aren't going to find any bodies in the backyard or other things that might cause them to question whether it's a good investment or whether they need to walk away. Getting your house in order in Europe is a little more complicated, in my experience, than it is, for example, in the United States, in part because Europe is just more complicated. There's a lot of different countries. Each one has its own tax, you know, regulatory, different languages. And so accordingly, there's opportunities to get creative. And the big companies, the big tech companies, have taken advantage of it, clearly. But entrepreneurs can do it too. So maybe you live in one country and you decide you want to incorporate in another, and maybe that didn't work out the way you liked, and so you end up incorporating in another entity in a third jurisdiction or even a fourth, which is all well and good. It's a little messy, but when it comes to financing, investors want to know what they're investing in. Where are the assets? So this shell game that can occur is something that it's kind of like, you know, cleaning your garage. It's something that a lot of people avoid doing until they have to do it. And I'm here to encourage you that it's an important exercise to get your house in order so that when you start raising money, you can represent exactly what it is that you're selling. And if you're selling a security in this company, you can say, this is what this company has, and you don't make false representations about how, oh yeah, we're doing something over here, and sooner or later, you know, we'll get it over here. Those kinds of things are deal killers. And that's my story. I've seen it happen a lot over here in Europe. I think Europe's very creative. And Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and those guys have figured it out too. So we can talk about why cleaning this mess up is important. In terms of getting your house in order, and figuring out what you got to do in case somebody looks behind the curtain. One way to try and look at this would be to say, what would be the worst case scenario? Or best case scenario in some people's mind, but let's look at it. Worst case scenario is, assume that somebody really put me through the ringer and did what's called a full-scale due diligence on your company. And by the way, this actually happens. If you do get a real institutional investor, like a venture capitalist, they actually do organize a full-scale due diligence. And so what we're gonna do in this is look at how that due diligence process works, and then you can ask yourself the question whether or not you would be able, your company would be able to withstand that kind of a process and come out smelling like a rose. So first of all, what is due diligence? Due diligence is a term that goes back to the US Securities Act of 1933, and there's a defense that broker dealers, the people who help market securities to the public, the question is, what level of care do they need to give to the statements that are being made by the company in order to avoid liability for securities fraud? And that term became known as due diligence. And today, due diligence is used in a lot of different contexts, but fundamentally, within the concept of venture finance, it's about doing your homework. So before you enter into a deal, what kind of homework do you have to do to make sure that the appearance is in fact aligned with reality, that there is this alignment of the words and the pitch with the substance and the truth about the company. What we're gonna focus on is primarily in this free course, the what. What are the things that you need to be concerned about? And when it comes to due diligence, really from an investor's perspective, there are three different kinds. There's the market diligence, the business diligence, and the legal diligence. And in a nutshell, market diligence is just, you know, looking at how big is the market? What's the total addressable market? Assuming that this company does succeed and get to the top of the mountain, are we talking about a small mountain or are we talking about Mount Everest? And looking at the competitive landscape, who else is trying to do the same thing? Business diligence, what this is really about is character references. So if you were to, you know, say we have happy customers, you know, investors in the due diligence process are probably going to want to talk to them and say, are you in fact happy? Will you do more business? What about background checks on the founders, the officers and directors? Are there any problems there? Bankruptcies, criminal proceedings, you know, those sorts of things. On the legal side, there's a very long list of things that you would look at. Does the company essentially know who owns all of the capital stock? Have there been any promises made to people that maybe haven't been documented regarding really anything? Could have to do with ownership of the company. Has everybody signed all the appropriate agreements that they should have signed? Does the company in fact own the IP that it says that it owns? Those are the kinds of things you cover in the legal due diligence. So in the venture finance context, due diligence would typically work as, you know, there's a term sheet that gets agreed to, but it's subject to satisfactory completion of due diligence. And the consequences for an unsatisfactory review. Keep in mind, I mean, if you were to go through an audit, invariably, probably you're gonna find something that needs to be fixed, but it really depends on what needs to be fixed. If it turns out that there are, you know, structural problems with the company, it could result in very expensive, extremely expensive legal fees and other fees associated with trying to correct those past mistakes. And it kind of reminds me of an air filter commercial from when I was a kid. There was a company called Fram, and their basically pitch was, you can pay me now or pay me later. So the question with a lot of this house in order stuff is, the sooner you clean it up, the easier and cheaper it will be to fix. The longer you wait to clean it up, the more expensive and harder it is to fix. And that's why getting your house in order is super important. Now, if it turns out that there are problems that can't be fixed, consequences could lead to something like, hey, you need to send me more information, no big deal, to, you know, very expensive process of trying to fix it, or just a busted deal. You know, if it turns out that the company isn't what everyone thought it was, obviously the investors are either going to substantially renegotiate the terms, or frankly, they're more likely to just walk away. So that's why it's important to get your house in order. In terms of the amount of due diligence that may or may not be requested, it really is a question of who is the prospective investor, because different types of investors are going to want different kinds of assurances. So it's not a one size fits all. I can say that in my experience, the ones who will typically ask for the most information obviously are the most sophisticated equity or debt investors. But what kind of stuff are we talking about here? We're talking about the corporate charter, you know, copies of all of the board and shareholder meetings, agreements among shareholders, obviously the bylaws, all that sorts of stuff. Making sure that as I mentioned, the intellectual property, has everybody signed the proprietary information and invention assignment agreement? Do we have, you know, signed non-disclosure agreements with everyone we should? Do all the employees and contractors, have they entered into the appropriate agreements? Have we made the appropriate patent and copyright filings and registrations? Other things would include with respect to all the management and employees, is everything documented? I mean, are there any promises that haven't been documented? If the company has long-term commitments like real estate leases, things of that nature, basically anything at the end of the day that's material to the business, the form in which these due diligence requests are typically made is, it can be a long form due diligence document request. That's how it would be done, for example, in a venture financing. With angels, the due diligence might be quite a bit less. It could be just a real subset of that. And frankly, with certain kinds of investors who are investing more in the relationship they have with the founder, you know, friends, family are fools, they might not even do any due diligence. So what I'm saying here is that it really depends, and the deeper you go into the sophistication level, the more likely it is that that you will have to undergo a more thorough investigation. But ask yourself this question: if it's true that you can get your house in order now and it'll be easier and cheaper, or you can wait and try and fix it later, the reality is the longer you wait, the harder it will be to move up the value chain, right? Because we know for certain, whether it's in connection with the sale of the company or a major financing, sooner or later that investigation will happen. And it's better to nip that problem in the bud. That's the concept about getting your house in order. In this lesson, we've learned the importance of getting your house in order. If you're gonna have people coming over, people trying to buy your house, you don't wanna be like the Wizard of Oz. We've learned why getting your house in order is crucial in order to help you get through a diligence process that sooner or later is gonna come. And in the next section, we're going to really start getting creative about how to generate an offer that appeals to the investors that you're trying to appeal to. This is where it starts to get really interesting. So click the button. Let's get started on the next video.